Welcome to the Bunker Hill Cheesecast, brought to you by Heine's Cheese Chalet, a little place with big taste. I'm Missy Horsfall, Director of Tourism Relations. The Treaty of Paris was signed in 1783, officially ending the American Revolution and confirming a complete separation from the British Empire. The migration west continued, and Ohio was rapidly settled in the years following, officially becoming a state in 1803. Tradition claims that the earliest settlers came to the Berlin, Ohio area in 1808 and was a Miller family from Somerset County, Pennsylvania. A number of villages were created in this area after Ohio's statehood, and many of them did not survive. But the village plat of Berlin was laid out in 1816, making Berlin the oldest surviving village of Holmes County, which was created in 1824. Just down the road from Berlin is Millersburg, which was established in 1824. And became the Holmes County seat in 1825. Perhaps that is what planted the seed of rivalry, for even though the town of Millersburg was laid out in 1815, a year before Berlin, there was some problem with the plats being registered, and it took another 9 years and a new town plat for it to become a town. Tradition says that Berlin vied for the county seat, but Millersburg was chosen over them and the other nearby towns. Perhaps this was where the trouble started. Hard to say, but in July of 1880 came what became known as the Berlin-Millersburg fight. Seems the friction between the two towns had grown to the point that the first Saturday in July, a wagonload of men came from Millersburg to clean up on Berlin. It appears the men in Berlin were spoiling for a fight as well. The Holmes County Farmer shares the following account in their July 8, 1880 issue. At Berlin. A large number of people assembled at Berlin Saturday to give the American Eagle a boost. The principal amusements were drinking beer and an extensive interchange of fists, clubs, brickbats, and other missiles convenient to handle. Many went home in sorry plight. Charles Marchand and John Everett were the principal sufferers. The former sustained a bad break of the shoulder, and the latter presents ugly marks received from being hit in the face by a brickbat. Fleetness of foot saved others from personal injuries. It is impossible to give the origin of the racket, for no two tell the same story. It was a disgraceful affair, in which few, if any, of the people of Berlin were much to blame. Perhaps that settled any disagreements between the two towns, as Millersburg and Berlin today work in close partnership with one another. We're going to talk about partnerships today, and as we chat with Shannon Carter, the brand and marketing manager of the Holmes County Chamber and Tourism Board, you're going to find out that partnership is a pretty good thing. Shannon. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Missy. Thank you for having me.
Well, I am really excited to have you here. We've had Tiffany Gerber, who is the executive director, on the podcast. And I love having you on because I think you're going to give a little bit of a different perspective. Now, how long have you been at the Chamber?
I've been at the Chamber for a little over 2 years. I started in 2019, and I actually started at the front desk. So I kind of worked my way up.
You did, indeed. And now you're finding yourself doing things you never quite imagined, correct?
Exactly.
And kind of thrown in on the right into the deep end of tourism and consumer shows and that sort of thing, as well as really working on the branding and marketing and the digital end of things for the Chamber. But you're a local, right? You grew up here?
Yes, I actually am born and raised. I went to West Holmes High School. So I currently live in Kilbuck with my husband and three teenagers. I started my first part of tourism actually when I was in high school. I worked at Tis the Season. So I actually worked with Joanne Hirschberger when she was doing her buses and things like that. And kind of got that feel of tourism at an early age, and I guess it always stuck.
Yeah, that's something I did not know. So yeah. A little bit of background information of maybe what kind of lit the fire for tourism for you. It's nothing I myself ever saw myself doing, but sort of fell into as well.
Yeah, I mean, I've had other jobs. I worked with the local school district as a sub and things like that, but it was always the hospitality end that I really enjoyed. And tourism is just kind of natural. You want people to come and experience where you live. And being able to share that with anyone around the world is kind of what fuels me every day.
Well, and it's interesting. I've talked to other businesses and people in the area, and it is true that the world sort of comes to our doorstep. It's amazing how many visitors we have from other countries, from all over the U.S., and they come to our little corner of the world, and it's a lot of fun to host them in the area and to see them here. Tell me a little bit about the chamber and how that works. Now, our Chamber of Commerce is also the Tourism Bureau, which in some places that's separated, right?
Right. So for us, we're really unique. We're one of only a handful left. And we work with traditional members for the chamber, but we also work with the tourism-related communities. And we provide many options that go back and forth. Like you mentioned, partnerships. Our community can survive without tourism, but it also couldn't survive without our regular chamber members.
Absolutely.
The community as a whole rely on each other, and you see that here, from our manufacturers all the way to our retail side. And that's really what holds the chamber together, and that's what we strive to show the rest of the world.
Well, and one of the things that you've done as part of your chamber job is taken over the map and visitor guide, which is a huge media for us because we put it out every year and it lists the people that belong to the chamber, the businesses, and just really tells people about the area as well as giving just so much information for people who want to visit. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so our Map and Visitors Guide is our official piece of tourism in the area. So you can pick one up and really know what we have to offer as far as attractions, restaurants, lodging, things like that. And it really gives people a broader sense of Amish country. A lot of people, when they Google it, think they're coming to one spot. And it's a 30-mile radius of every direction. And it really just brings it home when you put it in paper. I'm looking forward to this project. I know people before me have done an excellent job, and I'm really excited where we can take it and make it a coffee table piece is really the destination I want it to go. So,
well, I love that, and I love that there's going to be content in it that people will read and be able to kind of hold on to and share with others.
Yeah.
And the idea that you can see the bigger picture, because truly, when we talk about Ohio's Amish country, it's an area. It's a huge area, and it's not just, we call it Ohio's Amish country because there are Amish here, and the impact of the Amish and the Mennonite community really is huge in our area, but there's so many other things here as well. And I talk a lot on my podcast. I'm a little bit of a history buff, so ergo the Berlin-Millersburg fight, which, hey, did you know that?
I actually did. I am married to a history buff as well. So he and my children, my sons, they actually love the history of each little town. And so they've kind of taught me things I may not have known growing up.
I might need to speak to the rest of the Carter family and get them on the podcast.
They really enjoy, my oldest especially, loves telling me the history of the buildings in downtown Millersburg. The other day he was researching something that was happening on French Ridge that can't tell you what it's called right this second, but he knows all about the history, and that's really his niche. So I'm glad he, as a local, is absorbing that. It's something that you don't really see in the generations younger than you.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited for him.
I've always liked history, but I'm fascinated with the stories of the people who have sort of went before and who have left a legacy. And it is the Amish, but it's more than that.
Yeah.
Because the Amish were not the first settlers in the area. And the history that we have here goes far beyond just that one community. And the partnerships that we've talked about. I mean, living in community with people now, what I see now is in terms of the Amish community and the English community and the tourists that come, mm-hmm. is much like they've done all along here. You know, that people were drawn to this area. They came and they settled. And at the same time, we have Native American history here. Different parts of, the wars were fought near here, so battlefields are around here. A lot of things people don't really actually expect in quote-unquote Amish country.
Right. We actually had a visitor last week come in, and he was talking to me, asking me about Kilbuck, where I'm from. There is a museum there it's got the largest arrowhead artifacts.
Really?
Display. Plus, it has taxidermy that they can't remove from the building, so it's early taxidermy, things like that. So he came in and he was like, "Did you know this existed?" And I was lucky enough to say, "Yes, I know exactly where that is. I'm very proud of that." And he was like, "I had no idea that there was more to Amish country than what there was."
Yes.
And that is really the goal that I want to share as a local, and in tourism, that there's more than what you think is here between our retail stores, the manufacturers, the attractions. Like you said, they vary from your Amish style themes that you think of, but you also have to consider the historical value. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you've talked to Mark Boley, and he mentioned the Glass Museum. So it's kind of those small pockets of history that you can't get anywhere else.
Yeah.
And it's really just fascinating.
Yeah, and you really have to kind of see the whole picture. In order to get the whole picture, you've got to look beyond just what's here. And so I think that people who do come to visit, boy, there's just so many reasons to come back because you can't see it all in one visit. There's just no way.
And that's so true. And we hear that every day. You know, I came here thinking I was going to be a one-stop destination, and here I'm back, you know, the next month, the next week, next year, what's new? What can I do? And so you kind of pick roads that you know they haven't traveled on, or you ask them what they want to do. More times than not, if I give them one section of road, they come back and they find me at the chamber and they're like, okay, we did that and had a great time. What else can I do?
Where else can we go? Where
yeah.
else?
So it's just that communication with, you know, the tourist, like you said, the tourists, the locals, the Amish. I think the biggest thing to take away here is when you come to Amish country, it's almost like you're coming home. Nobody treats you differently. Everybody just, we're very open. Mm. We're very positive. And we're also very, you know, hospital. We just want to make sure that you feel like you're at home when you're yeah. here. We don't label, oh, that's a tourist. I'm going to run the opposite way.
Right, right.
It's just we welcome you with open arms, everybody.
Yeah,
so.
I know that because I'm technically an outsider. I didn't grow up here. I've lived in and near the area for a number of years now. But even so, I myself have noticed the welcomeness, the warmth, the hospitality, people just really kind of embracing you. And they do enjoy tourists coming. And they enjoy the conversation, I think.
Yeah.
Both the Amish and the locals, they enjoy the conversation with other peoples too, who come here. And they come from other cultures. They come from other parts of the world. And they come from other sections of the country. And the conversation is pretty interesting because I think it's enjoyed on both sides when people engage and talk in conversation.
Well, I have to laugh because we just had that a couple of days ago, or I did, I should say. I had an influencer in town, and he asked me last minute to bring his father along. And I was like, yeah, no problem, you know, thinking it was another thing that I would do, no big deal. And it turns out that this dad actually had roots in our county.
Really?
His father had owned a farm on the far west side of the county in Big Prairie. Growing up, so his family had traveled from Cleveland. His dad was a doctor, and they would travel down here on the weekends and work on the farm. And when his dad passed, right before his dad passed, they had sold the farm. So he hadn't been back in like 20 years, and he has relatives buried in Winesburg in the cemetery. So it was just that connection that gave us that whole day to like interact together.
Yeah.
We could plan the trip. So we actually made a detour in our route that we had planned, the son and I. And took him to the farm. And he ended up going up and knocking on the door, and a Mennonite family welcomed us all in. And we had a lovely conversation, and that connection, they exchanged numbers, and
oh.
I know that they've made contact since. So they're actually working together to help lay out the farm, what he knows of the farm and what they plan to do. So it's really an interesting connection that my job allowed me that I had no idea
yeah.
would have.
Connecting people and the
yeah.
place. Yeah, that's pretty cool. That is really, really cool. And I want to talk a little bit about your job, because one of the things that you have had a huge part in building is the media presence for the chamber and the tourism side of things. So talk to me a little bit for listeners who say, boy, how do I find the chamber? I mean, I can call. Obviously, there's a phone number.
Right.
You can call the chamber, and that's great. But maybe they want to look online and find things. Where would they go?
Yeah. So visitamishcountry.com is where they would head. And we have taken that website and kind of done a 360. As you know, web is important as well as media. So we took a lot of time, developed some videos to really capture what we felt the area needed to showcase. And we chose to make some sample itineraries, give people idea of how much there is to do. And then we broke the listings down by categories, which is something that a lot of websites, you know, there's places to see, do, and shop, but they don't really break it down into adventures or recreational things that we can do. And we really put a lot of love and sweat into making sure that website was as much a part of who we are as a community and as what we want the travelers to experience when they go to our website.
Yeah, I love that you took the information that the chamber kind of knew instinctively
mm-hmm.
and shares every day, all day long, and put it out there for people to kind of discover on their own and at least get a peek at what we have here. So visit AmishCountry.com. That's the website to go to, and you'll find videos, pictures, all kinds of suggestions. If you want, say you want a hard copy of the Map and Visitor's Guide, how would they get that?
Yeah, there's actually a place right on the website that they can go and they can request it straight from there. We actually have other short media blasts. We're doing Buggy Trail and Artisan Trail right now. You can actually download those directly from our website. So it's a scavenger hunt that takes a social media presence so you don't have to interact with others. You can snap selfies, use the hashtag BuggyTrail2021, and or post it to AmishCountry.com, and we will gather that information, and you can be entered in for prizes. And it's really a new way to look at marketing to people and engaging on those social media platforms that we know are just where the world is headed.
Yeah, it is. It truly is. I want to talk a little bit more about the Buggy Trail because I think this is a really cool concept.
Yeah.
So if I'm a visitor and I want to know not just itineraries or where to go, what to do, but I want to be engaged and actively kind of having an adventure in the area, to seeing things and knowing where to go. If you go out to the website, you can find the Buggy Trail, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, it's actually in our blog section. That's
and
where
so
it lives.
It gives information about each business that you visit and or thing you do. It's on the trail because we have the Rails to Trails right near us. So there's a little bit of everything, and you have both. You've kind of broken it down now, right?
Yeah. So what I did is I took the, we had a large number of people who wanted to be involved with this. And we took and made the Buggy Trail, which is going to be locations scattered across the county. And what you do is you match the image on the front of the card to the location on the back. So it's kind of a scavenger hunt because you're not, it doesn't tell you exactly what you're looking for. It just gives you the address. And we thought that'd be a really fun way for people to engage with their kids, their brothers, their sisters, whoever, and just be able to take that memory, so to speak, and put it out there for the world to see. And then we also had a huge group of the wineries, the breweries, and the art galleries, and they really wanted to come together and do something unique. And here in our area, we're so blessed that there's so many different artisans that we could tap into. So this year we chose to make an artisan trail. And you can go to the wineries, the breweries, the art galleries, and really just kind of immerse yourself in that side of our culture. And
I can't tell you how much I love that. Because and this is the reason, because while we appreciate our Amish heritage and our neighbors and the culture that's here, there's so much more to it than just that. Or people who say, ah, I've been there, I've done that, it's just this. No. It's so much more. And to kind of showcase some of these things, I think is important for visitors to see. Because like I said, if you come once, you haven't seen a fraction of what we have to offer here. So, and again, all kinds of people come. You know, if you come with a family, you've got how many different interests in the family? You know, the kids want to do one thing, the parents want to do something else, the teenagers want to do something else. And we have it either here in this area directly, or our neighbors have it.
Exactly.
So, you know, talk about partnerships. That's one of the things I've been trying to do with the podcast, is a showcase that not only do we have much to offer in our area, but say you want to take an afternoon and go and see something else, it's right next door, and it's not very far. So there is something for everybody in the family, everyone who comes here. And it's fun to hear what people kind of take away. I'm sure at the chamber, like you said.
We have so many stories, and we love it. We actually have... like you said, the partnerships, Roscoe Village, you know, is just down the road. We've got Tuscarawas right next door. Worcester, if you need that night city life that we can't provide for you. All those things are within 20 to 30 minutes. And once people realize that they're so close to everything, then they're planning longer vacations is what we're seeing.
Yes.
I had a gentleman who came in, and he came in for the Hot Air Balloon Festival that just happened in Coshocton. And he was like, I didn't know you guys existed until I was in Roscoe and found your book. So it was that exchange there. And he was like, tell me what there is history-wise. So we went through a whole thing. He wanted to know everything, every museum he could go to, every place he could, you know, get in and venture and take a picture. And I think he will be back. I mean, he was just excited to know that there's so many things. And I mean, our partners are great. We love working around the clock with all of the tourism bureaus. So.
Yeah, and how fun on the flip side. You come to Amish Country and then find out, oh, there's a hot air balloon.
I know, right?
festival. I mean, it's pretty big. It's pretty amazing. And it's right next door.
Yep.
Yeah. So those kinds of partnerships are really key to helping people to really see. Because if I'm a visitor and I come, I don't know where one county line ends and another begins. And I don't even always know where, for heaven's sake, this, you know, the village line ends.
Right.
You know? It's just I'm in the area and I want to see the area. And so what does that look like and what can we offer people? So the chamber does an excellent job helping people to see that. And I highly recommend, I mean, even when we get phone calls at Heine's Cheese, it's like, what? You know, they always ask, is so-and-so open? Is such-and-such? What can we do? And I always, I mean, I tell them, I say, I can tell you what I know, but really you need to call the chamber because they have so much more information on the businesses that are available and whatever your interests are, they can direct you in which direction you need to go. So,
and I'm very thankful for that because a lot of that comes from our partners taking the time to feed us information. I mean, we have so many options and varieties of things to do in our area that our small staff, it can be overwhelming at times unless we have a good open communication with our partners. And everybody is willing to feed us information and we share what we have. And thankfully, the hotels and retail, everybody is willing to share their sales and things like that. And we can go back and forth and make it a pleasant experience or make it look easy and flawless like you hinted at.
It's that partnership we talked about.
Yeah.
Berlin and Millersburg don't fight anymore.
No.
We're in partnership, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And that is really true of the communities and in the tourism world because we recognize the benefit and the strength that we can offer one another. So sharing what we have to offer with others or directing people to other places or, you know, it just benefits the whole community. So that's a lot of fun.
Well, and I think for us, especially after coming off this last year, it really taught us that people need to get out there and experience new things.
Mm.
So the ability to show them the new things, the ability to put, you know, a different perspective on what they think they already know. That's where I love to just jump in and go head first of, oh, you've already been here, here, and here. What have you ever explored this? And they just look at me like, no, I didn't know that existed.
Yeah.
And it's that little joy that keeps feeding you and, you know, your creativity and things like that. Just keep building off of the things people don't know and what you can share about your community. And I think it really just, like you said, it boils down for a love of where you are and in your community.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and the desire to share it with other people. And I think that across the board, I've seen that over and over again in this community, that people recognize what we have here, and we really do want other people to see it and have a part in it and share it with us. You know, whether they come for a respite or they come for an adventure or, you know, they just come with their family to have a good memories and good family time. We welcome all of that. And we're excited when people come and share in what we have here. Shannon, tell me, when you look sort of to the future, as dark, as dim as it may seem, because who knows after the last year,
right,
how exactly do we know the future? But what do you see in terms of the media aspect of the chamber and sort of the direction that's going?
Yeah, so for me, it is bringing those experiences closer to people. We are building our member spotlights. We're also building those guerrilla footage of people just out in the street, you know, walking up and engaging with people one-on-one, asking them the questions of what they're doing. That's what, when you travel, you want to know. You know, you want to know that you're going to walk into a store and it's not going to, you know, feel cold. It's going to feel warm and inviting. Or, hey, you know, you just got off this buggy ride. What was your thought or your experience or your takeaway? And just capturing those moments that we know, you know, you might be living in that moment, so you might not think to capture it, but we could capture it for you. And I really just foresee this building on a YouTube platform and all those social media platforms as well. And I really am seeing it's not just Ohio Amish Country, but it's a Holmes County Ohio brand as well, you know, within that. So that way, maybe we don't fit the Amish Country mold, but we're still here as the county and we are supporting you.
Yeah.
And I think those go hand in hand. And I really, that's where I see us making the next moves.
Yeah, and it really is, we're back to the partnership thing where you see, okay, so Berlin Township is, you know, Berlin is a dry town, okay, but that doesn't mean that there aren't places for people to go and sit and enjoy a glass of wine, and not very far away. And the fact that those aren't opposites and they don't contradict each other.
Right.
Which is kind of hard sometimes for people to understand.
Yeah.
But if you live in a community that's sort of got, you know, bicultural, you know, you got a couple different cultures going on, you live and work together and you learn what it means to live and work together side by side and to appreciate things about other cultures and what they bring, or to appreciate that somebody may come and want to go to a winery.
Right.
It's great. It's right down the road. And they love being here because the area is exactly what we've set it to be. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So everybody benefits and everybody works together. And that partnership, I think, is probably one of the things that, for me, what I've learned and seen in the tourism industry in this area is key. It, you know, you and I, we've done consumer shows together,
right,
where we go for long weekends, work long hours, and we tell people about Ohio's Amish country, right? But partnering together and partnering with other businesses in the area, because nobody's, and I say this over and over again, nobody's going to come to this area just for one thing.
Right.
They're not going to come, even though Heine's cheese is absolutely wonderful, Bunker Hill cheese, you love it, I promise you. You're not going to travel to here to for just Bunker Hill cheese.
Right.
There are other things, there's got to be other things to draw you, right? Or you're not going to travel that far. You're just going to get on the website and order it, which please do. We'd like you to do that too.
Exactly.
But you know, in terms of tourism and what you see, we need one another. And that is so clear to me in the years that I've been doing this, that we need to partner together. And we do a good job. And I keep going back to the Berlin-Millersburg fight, because it just cracks me up when I think about it. But how much we've grown since that time, right?
It's been a lot of progress, for
yes,
sure.
Yes. But the partnership and how important that is, and how much I've appreciated it and seeing it and working with the different businesses in the area. So and this podcast, though it's based on tourism and we talk about, you know, visitors coming to the area, I'm finding that we have local listeners that are learning a lot of things about the area, which is pretty cool too, right?
Yeah. So growing up here, you know, you kind of become jaded. I'm not gonna say that any other way. You know, it's tourist season, or you just drive right past it because you see it every day and you kind of take it for granted. You don't stop in. You say, oh, I'll do that another day. And it's important to support those mom and pop shops. We're lucky to be in an area where not everything is a Target or
yes,
a Starbucks. I mean, we have more mom and pop shops here than most towns see. And it's so great to be a part of that and just share that in the community. So why not stop in to, you know, your friend's uncle's store? You know, it may not be your cup of tea, but at least you're walking in and showing your support on a community level. And playing tourist is actually kind of fun on a local level. When my husband and I were dating, I will tell you this, he was the reason that I kind of got back into tourism, because I took him places. And he was all for it. He grew up in Columbus, so he was like, what is it? I've been to Amish country like once. So we would go and we would take Minnie, you know, a couple hours here and there, and I'd show him different things. And he really began to appreciate what the area had to offer. And mm-hmm, it was kind of what drew him back. And now when we travel back to Columbus, he's immediately annoyed. So it's kind of adorable.
You've kind of...
I've kind of converted him unintentionally. His biggest thing that he has noticed over the last, gosh, we've been together 17 years. So, Missy, you can attest to this. Waving as you drive.
Oh, yeah.
It's just standard what we do around here. We just wave as
we wave to people. That's what you do, right?
So when we were dating, he used to think that was the weirdest thing. And now he thinks it's weird to not wave.
Yeah.
So that whole, it's come full circle for me. And I've taught my kids. You know, they think it's kind of weird that mom makes them go on the weekends and play local tourist. But they really, as they grew, began to enjoy what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I think that will bring the next generation back to the community, which is also something you need to, you know, keep aware of.
Right.
If you don't teach the next generation, they don't stay.
That's right. You lose it.
You lose it.
Yeah. And that's what happens, you know, and towns do die, but...
We've been very lucky.
We've been very
happen.
Fortunate.
We're
thriving, and we will hopefully continue to thrive as you said, pass it on to the next generation. Well, Shannon, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Oh, thank you, Missy. It was a great time.
And listeners, if you have any questions, Holmes County Chamber,
yes,
check them out. They will answer tons of questions for you. Go online, visit Ohio. No.
Visit AmishCountry.com.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
And check it out. So thanks again. And now it's time for Did You Know? Did you know that Berlin was not always a dry town? The first and maybe only public house or hotel and tavern providing lodging, food, and refreshments, usually whiskey, was established in Berlin in 1818. Grocery stores were sometimes operated in connection with them, which gave rise to calling public houses that sold whiskey groceries. Perhaps one reason why there are no other public houses known to have existed in Berlin is because whiskey was sold in the village store. According to a ledger from a local store kept from June 5, 1825 to December 31, 1831, whiskey was recorded to have sold a few quarts for 12.5 cents, half gallons at 18¾ cents, and quite a few gallons sold at 31½ cents. By the mid-1800s, 5 saloons were operating in Berlin, including the one attached to the Hotel Empire. Please take note that whiskey was used in large part medicinally, so aside from what was sold in saloons, the local store sold quite a bit to area residents, as borne out by the records of Dr. Peter P. Pomerine for a patient known as Widow Getz, which had listed pints and quarts of whiskey 7 times between May 15th and December 28th, 1880. Whiskey is, apparently, good for what ails you. And now you know.